The scripture says that Christ has made you free, then you are free indeed. Amen. Amen. Who of the Son has made free? Hallelujah. It's free indeed. Amen. So, you know, when you get saved, should it be when you say, free at last? Free at last. Thank God for it. Free at last. You're free at last when you get saved. Hallelujah. Amen. It doesn't make any difference what anybody else says or does. Amen. We're going to go right ahead and we have a special message for today. Amen. And I just believe will bless you for this holiday and for the rest of your days on earth. And I want to talk with you on the subject of faith is the victory. Amen. Faith is the victory. Amen. Say that with me one time. Faith is the victory. Amen. Amen. So what I want you to understand is with all the changing variables in this world, we need to sift down to the crux of what God has said and learn to embrace it with all our heart so that we can lay hold of his blessings and understanding that even though there are difficulty and trouble in this life, that the power to overcome it all rests in the fact that faith is the victor. That is, faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ alone. Now, I want to be very explicit with that because we live in a duplicitous world that has a lot of different views about how people are made right with God. But I want to be very explicit today, letting you know what the scriptures teach. And that is that God has accomplished what is necessary for you and me to know that we're saved, that we can have faith that God has done everything necessary. Now, doesn't mean see people are getting a little scared when you say that. We're going to take a text here in just a second. They get a little scared because they think, oh, that means you're going to just tell people to cut loose and do anything. But that's nothing could be further from the truth. When you have faith, faith actually instructs you how to do things right. It instructs you what is satisfying to God. It instructs you how to have the best in this world and have the comfort of Almighty God at the same time. Some people got a lot of stuff in this world, but they don't have the comfort of Almighty God.
Amen.
You know why? Because they, oh, well, we got to get some security. And I'm not saying you shouldn't have security. We got to have all kinds of other stuff that we're trusting in, but we're not trusting in Almighty God. So faith will give you a supernatural understanding that you have a relationship with God that cannot be altered at all. And I want you to see it. But you know, people have a lot of trouble with understanding this. And so that's the reason why we need church and discipleship.
Amen.
We need to come in and be instructed from God's word, because the church voice compared to the voice of the world is small by comparison as far as time is concerned. But it's large. It's the largest possible thing that you and I have to deal with, because it has the power and the energy of Almighty God to bless us and instruct us. So no matter what the world is saying to us, we have a confidence that undergirds our life and how we live and the things that we say and the things that we do and how we treat each other. And all of that is all covered in God's word. Along with everything else. So when you get that foundation, then you can move forward. Now I want to pull up an example from the word here to give you some scripture to hang these thoughts on. And I want to take a look briefly in the Old Testament at Deuteronomy, chapter number 32. Now some of y'all are going to say, I think I put the wrong one in my heading there. I can see I just noticed a typo. So I have to be careful with that. But I'll go back and edit that, but I just noticed it. Deuteronomy 32, 9-37, verse 15 reads like this from the KJV. And you can read this with me if you like, Deuteronomy 32 and 15. But Yeshurun waxed fat and kicked, and thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, and abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God. To gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom their fathers feared not. Of the rock that begot them, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. He said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very forward generation, children in whom there is no faith. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me unto anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those who are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Amen. That's God's statement to the children of Israel in what is known as the second law, Deuteronomy. And by definition, that's what it means, second law. May God bless the reading of the Old Covenant scripture. Now read with me just these two verses from the New Testament, and we can dig in. Romans 1:16 from the New Testament. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen. We have read the word of the Lord, both Old and New Testament. You may be seated in the sanctuary. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy word. And as I mentioned at the top of the session, we're going to use this for a topic: faith is the victory. Let us pray. Lord God, in Jesus' name, we need you right now once again. Oh God, because we need to understand, among all the things that have been spoken in the world, things that are going around the planet right now, Lord God, all kinds of ideologies and philosophies and different ways of life and thinking, Father, we want to hear from you today, Lord God. We want to hear from your word today, what the Spirit is saying to the churches.
Yes.
Father, we need you today, and we cannot do anything without you. So we pray right now in the midst of this service here on what the world, and at least in America, is calling the Independence Day, that you give us deep independence. You give us deep understanding of freedom in the sense that you have declared in your word.
Yes.
And Father, we ask you today, help us understand that faith is the victory that we need. Help us realize that faith is to be pointed directly to the object of faith that you have given once and for all, that you have centered this entire world around. Who is your Son?
Yes.
Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, the risen one who you raised from the dead, giving him a credential that no other person has had to date. From the days of Adam to date, no one has defeated the grave but your Son. And so you configured the world around him, Father. Help us today by faith to embrace him and realize that he has covered us, and that faith in him is the victory. We ask this, Lord, for every ear, for every eye, for every person under the sound of my voice, and we ask it in the powerful, matchless name of Jesus. And it's in Jesus' mighty power that we pray. And everybody say it together.
Amen. Amen.
Now, what I want you to understand here today is that Israel is who God has set forth for an example to the world. We were talking about this in the new member class a little bit today. Israel, tiny little Israel. I was going to put up some graphics, but I'm having some technical difficulty. But I want you to understand that, just to give you an idea of what that's like, not that you don't know, Israel is a tiny little piece of real estate in comparison to everywhere else in the world. But God has separated Israel for his own possession. And I think he chose tiny little Israel for a specific purpose, because he wants the world to marvel at the fact that I can take the smallest little parcel of ground on this earth and make it the focal point of the whole word. And that's true. No matter what anybody says, you see Israel in the center of all the news that's going on around the world. In the Middle East, they're talking about it. They're talking about it in Russia. They're talking about it in every nation on the planet. And Israel has received a lot of affliction because of the fact that God has singled them out to be a people for his own possession. This all began all the way back to those of you who have studied the Bible. You know that God began this when he separated a people out of the Gentiles, as the scripture says. And just for those who may not know, the people groups in the world at the time of the beginning were all called Gentiles. And this went on clearly on up until Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis 12, God separated Abraham to create a people for his own possession. And those people came to be known as the Jews, the Israelites. They didn't have the land yet. God called Abraham as a single individual at 75 who was married but had no offspring. And that's completely intentional. God calls a 75-year-old man with a wife that's of comparable age to bear a child. And y'all read that in Genesis 12 where God says, get thee out of thy country and out of thy father's house. Come into a land that I will show you, and I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless the one who blesses you and curse the one who curseth you. And in your seed, speaking of a child, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. 75. 75 years old. No children till you're 75. And God says, in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, several things are miraculous in just that promise that God has made. Abraham's thinking probably, I don't know what he was thinking, the scripture doesn't tell you. But I know later on he was thinking about it, because by the time you get further on in Genesis, you know about the situation where Abraham believed God, first of all. Let's back up and get that in Genesis 12. He believed God, he abandoned his present lifestyle. He abandoned his inheritance, everything that he would have acquired by the time he was 75, everything that was promised to him from his family, passing it on from him from generation to generation. He left it. But his father died before he left, or shortly after he took the promise of God. But he didn't take everything that belonged to his father. The land was still there. So Abraham, by faith, moved out, trusting God that he will do what he promised. That's why Genesis 15, verse 6 says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham put some shoe leather on what he believed. He didn't just say, I believe you, God, but I'm going to stick around and wait till I get the old man's cash and his property and all his animals and all that. No, he said, no, I abandoned that, and I'm going to move out, just like you said. And he went out, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, he went out of Ur of the Chaldees, not knowing whither he went. He had no idea where he was going. He was walking by faith and not by sight. See, faith was the substance of what he hoped for in the future. Because God had promised him, I'm going to give you a land, and I'll show you. And I'm going to bless you and make your name great. I'm going to be your defense, your exceeding great sword and your shield. I'm going to stand between the world and you, Abraham. By faith, just trust me. Abraham did. And he went out, and the scripture tells us by the time he got to be 99, he still had no seed. Y'all know that story. And then Sarah said, well, you know, I'm old, and it's probably my fault. You know, sometimes we do that. We beat up on ourselves. No, it's not working. It's probably my fault. Done something wrong. We go there. Oh, God, you blessed me because I messed up. We go there. May y'all say, well, you go there, Pastor. No, sometimes we all go there.
Amen.
We get into a rut. And, you know, we keep looking at ourselves and we think, oh, there's something about me, reason why God wouldn't bless me. And we blame ourselves. But God has promised. promised to bless you if you trust him.
Amen.
And that relationship is what is known as faith. Faith will give you victory over every negative thing in your life, including the grave.
Amen. Amen.
Including the grave. That one scares the daylights out of us. But the fact is, God already came and proved that I have victory even over the grave. And that's what the resurrection of Jesus was about. But I want you to see that when God called Abraham, he had no seed. He was going somewhere. He didn't know where he was going. But he believed God, Genesis 15:6. And it was counted to him for righteousness. In other words, when you trust God, God says, I put my seal of righteousness on you. You are righteous because you believe me.
Amen.
Because you trust me. Because you take what I say for face value and you just walk by it. That's faith. Faith doesn't require evidence other than what God said. You must believe what God said. Faith is really about trusting what God has said, what he has promised. And if you can do that, that's why Hebrews 11 gives us this definition. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. See, faith is the evidence that God will do everything he promised. And you haven't seen it yet, but you believe it. And so I'm walking right now in the present, based on what God has promised me in the future. You know what? He promised you things for the present. Also, because he told Abraham, didn't he? He said, that if you get thee out of thy country, that's really a command. It's not a question. I'm not saying, will you please get out of thy country? No. It's get thee out of thy country. That's a command. And out of your father's house. And come into a land that I will show you. Come means I'm leading you. Come into a land that I will show thee. And I will bless thee and make thy name great. And you shall be a blessing. That's what he said, right?
Amen.
Abraham believed God, and he went out not knowing where he went, but God showed him where to go. If you trust God and you're going into some territory that you don't know about, how's it going to turn out? God is with you by faith.
Amen.
If you trust him, he will guide you and he will lead you. That's why you must learn to walk by faith and not by sight. Well, it doesn't look like I'm getting anywhere. Looks like I'm slipping back. Looks like the wicked are getting in front of me. They're doing better than I am. That's how it looks. But no, God said, I will bless you and make your name great. So don't fix your eyes on what you see unless you see it in the pages of God's word. But Abraham went out. Now we know the story. I kind of took a little more time with that because I want you to see that what happened was, eventually, Isaac, the child of promise, was born. It was when Abraham was 100 years old. Think about that. 25 years it took for him to manifest that promise that God had made. So for 25 years, Abraham's hanging on by faith. He's trusting God the whole time. Sarah got a little bit anxious in there. Y'all know the story. She said, well, you know what? It's probably my fault. We do that. We say, oh, it's my fault. We blame ourselves. The flesh tells you it's your fault. The devil tells you it's your fault, the reason you ain't been blessed. The enemy will tell you, don't trust God. Do something about it yourself. Take matters into your own hands. See, but the scripture says, and you know, even when you do, this is the thing I want to say, and I'm not recommending that you disobey the truth. But God has given us example after example after example of people who stepped out of line, or so to speak, and he still blessed them. He still kept his promise. No matter what they did, he kept his promise. God will do that for you. He will keep his promise if you believe him by faith. Sometimes it gets pretty grim looking at what's happening right now. But God said, I will, my word that proceeded from out of my mouth will not come back to me void. But it will accomplish the purpose whereunto I sent it. God said, my word is effective. It will do everything I have promised that it will do. So, you know what? If you want to get in on it, how do you do it? You do it by faith. You trust God no matter what you see. No matter what anybody says. No matter how powerful the person saying it may seem. You keep trusting God because God said it and it's going to be. So by faith, I'm going to embrace what God said. So, long story short, the child of promise was born. And God tested Abraham one more time in Genesis 22. Told him, take your son, Isaac, your only son whom you loved. Take him up to the place that I'll show you. Here it is again. God's still leading him somewhere he doesn't know where he's going. Isn't that something? After 25 years, now you've given me the son. And you're telling me, take him and sacrifice him on Mount Moriah. And Abraham believed God. He got a son. He got everything necessary to sacrifice him. He went and started heading for the place. It was a three-day journey. Think about that for a minute. Isaac, three-day journey. He's going to sacrifice his son, his only son, on a three-day journey. He takes him to the place up on the mountain. And Isaac on the way says, Father, I see the wood, and I see the fire, but where is the lamb? And the Bible says he told him God will supply, will supply himself a lamb. Isaac goes along with it. And they bind him to the wood. And he's laying up on the altar. And Abraham raises the knife to strike his own son. And he was going to burn him up after that. That was the plan. When you think through it, it's like, what? Isaac allows it. You know why? Because he had been raised to believe in God.
Amen.
And to have faith in God. So no matter what this means, I'm in. Father, even though I'm younger than you and I could probably scrap the daylights out of you and get away. Because you're an old man. It sounded like you flipped your wig and then went crazy. Talk about putting me on the altar. And you got a knife and you're ready to sacrifice me. Some of our youth today might not pass that test. What? The old dude, flip this wig, I gotta go. And he could easily have done that. But you know what? He had faith. He trusted God. He went along with it. When Abraham had raised the knife, God spoke and said, Abraham, Abraham, stay your hand.
Amen.
Right at the last moment, he told him, see that ram over there in the thicket caught by the horns? Get him and sacrifice him. And so what God wanted to do was give Abraham the picture in his mind of him sacrificing his only son. You know what? He took him to the exact spot which by the time Israel came fully into existence, that same spot where he took Isaac was known as Golgotha, the place of the skull. And this is the place where he took his only son. And he allowed him to be crucified. But you know what? Paul put it this way when he wrote the Romans. It says, he who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? When God's son, Jesus the Christ, was on the same spot when the fullness of time was come, God didn't hold back the crucifixion. He let it go through. You know what he did? He turned his back and let it happen. That's why Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know what else? That was written in the scripture. So he came to do all of that to fulfill the scripture. The scripture must be fulfilled. So what I'm asking you to do here for Independence Day to bring us around full circle. Israel, throughout that time, after they proceeded out of the loins of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, became a great people. They grew stronger and stronger and stronger, became one of the greatest nations in the history of the world. In the time of King Solomon, Israel was the top of the world. The Queen of Sheba heard about the works of Solomon. She came all the way up out of Egypt. She said, I gotta go and see him. And she came up to see what Solomon had built. They grew to be a great empire by the time of the reign of Solomon. And she, when she got there, she said, oh, the half wasn't even told. The story I heard wasn't even half as good as what it really was. when she saw how God had blessed Solomon. And so I want you to understand that God raised that nation up, and then eventually they got to the place where they put God on the back burner. After that, they began to crumble and come down from their faith. And I believe right now that this country has been blessed hand over fist throughout the 200 plus years that we've been here. And we got to the point now where, oh, well, we don't need the blessing of God anymore. We can put that on the back burner or press it out or give equal place to a bunch of other evil philosophies that have no solution for the problem of death and the grave. You know what? All those other professing philosophies have no solution for the problem of death and the grave. God has configured the entire world around Jesus. And I don't care where you are on earth. Over in Australia, Jesus is still in the center of time. It's 2021 everywhere around the planet. That means 2021 years since Jesus was born. Everybody is keeping that time. Why is that? How is that? If all these things are so good that people profess to be religious systems, why are you counting your time by the birth of Christ? Because God has made it pervasive in the world. He's made it pervasive. He's made it universal to the whole world. So that it will be easy for you to embrace Christ and believe and have faith in him. Because the world is configured around him. Why is that? Because he got out the grave and defeated death in the grave. He was able to withstand the judgment even of Almighty God that he cast on Jesus instead of on me, because I deserve it. If you have faith, you know you deserve judgment, but Jesus took it for you, is the good news of the gospel.
Amen.
And so that's what we embrace by faith, and that is where the victory is. Israel got to the point that they did just like America's doing today. That's what this text in Deuteronomy 32 is about. It says here, but Jeshurun, that's the pronunciation of that. That would be kind of like a pet name you would give a child. Instead of calling him Jacob, the scripture looks at him as the head of the people, so to speak. But he is nowhere, in this time, he's nowhere around. Moses is writing toward the end of his period of being the leader of Israel. This is why this is the second law of Deuteronomy. It comes from two words in the Greek, deuteronomos. Deutero means two, where we get the English word duet is two. And nomos is law. And he's writing here saying this is the outcome or the result of what the people of Israel did after they had walked with God and took for granted his blessings. It says there, Jeshurun waxed fat. In other words, he had everything he wanted. And he got fat, so to speak. And he kicked that as he rebelled against God. Thou art waxing fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him, speaking of God, to jealousy with strange gods. Mind you, anybody? With abominations they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed unto demons or devils, not to God. To gods whom they knew not. To new gods that came newly up, whom their fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat them, he says, they were unmindful of the rock that begat them. Think about the people who brought you to where you are. I have to say I have a fond memory of the elders that I know. We have some here in this church, been around a long time, been trusting God a long time. You've been walking by faith a long time. And you don't intend to change at any second. I got my eye fixed on the prize, and I will not be moved. That's the way they feel. And sometimes the newer generation puts those things behind them and forgets all about it. This is what happened to Israel. They took the blessings, and they grew big and were very powerful in the blessings, but then they forgot about the blesser, the one who blesses. And they put him behind their back. Deuteronomy 20:32-19, and when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them. Think about that. He said, oh, I gave you all that, and this is how you treat me? Because of the provoking of his sons and his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them, and I will see what their end shall be. In other words, you don't want my help? Go ahead. See what your stuff will do for you. Your stuff will fail you. You need God at every moment. Stuff will not sustain you, but God will.
Amen, amen.
He says, here, I'll hide my face from them and see what their end shall be. For they are a very froward generation, children in whom there is no faith. Now, you know, it was interesting to me, and I have to tell you this before I let you out here today. It's amazing how the word faith is only found in the Old Testament in two places. Blew me away when I actually looked it up. It's one here in this passage, and the second one is in the book of Habakkuk, where it says, and the just shall live by his faith. That's what you see here in Romans when you look at what Paul wrote in the Romans. He's quoting from Habakkuk, Romans 1:16. Paul, who used to hate the church, says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, speaking of the gospel of Christ, is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So God has one message to the Jew and to the Gentile. That's what that means. And then notice this, verse 17, for therein, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written. Here it is, the quote from Habakkuk, the just shall live by faith. You can do that research. It'll bless you as well. So those who are justified, that means made right with God on his terms, are the ones who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that he is, as it says, brethren, this is Romans 10, says this, brethren, my wife's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek.
Amen.
See, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In other words, there's one way to be right, and that is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? That should make Christ the most interesting person you have ever encountered. It should make you thirsty to want to know who he is and to know more about him, because he has done all this for you. Now, physical Israel is a living example of how that even when God has set them apart as a nation, that they are still free to either obey him or disobey him. And that their outcome will be based on their own choices, which is why we need faith. You need faith because the outcome of your life will be based on the choices that you make.
All right.
Trust God or not. The name Israel, which is given to Jacob, was given to Jacob when he struggled with God and prevailed in Genesis 32:28 to become his own special people. That's what God was doing through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His own, for their own, his own special purpose. God's special purpose was to send Jesus for the salvation of the whole world. He knew if I didn't separate a people, all the people will go bad, just like they did before the flood. So now, after the flood, I'm going to separate the people, make them my special people, send my son through them, and give him as a sacrifice for all of the people. See that? So God was thinking universal all the time, but he dispensed it throughout the years. So they were a special people for a special purpose, to provide all people who have faith in him through Jesus, his only begotten son, whom he would deliver in time for the availability of salvation by faith alone for all who believe. God always wanted to save everyone. You know what? Gentiles were being saved all through the time when the Lord had sanctified Israel. So Paul wrote to the Romans to let us know that the element of faith in Jesus Christ is the primary component of the gospel, which when we embrace it by faith, God himself will impart victory to everyone who believes. That's the good news. You know what? And the church is not only to preach the gospel, but also to teach the Bible, those things that God has said. And whoever believes in the name of Jesus Christ, the scripture says, will not be put to shame. Amen. And on the other hand, we can contrast that to say, whoever neglects the gospel of Jesus Christ ought to be ashamed, and eventually you will if you don't change your mind. Amen. So I want to pray with you just before we dismiss, and I hope this will be the best 4th of July that you ever had here in America. I know they don't celebrate it everywhere on the planet, but I hope you have a real independence that God has given you by faith in His Son, Jesus. Let's pray. Eternal God, we bless your name. We praise you, Father. We thank you for the good news of the gospel that you have given your Son, Jesus the Christ. You have said, whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life, Father. God, we repent of our sin. We turn to you, Lord, by grace, through faith, asking that you apply that blood to my spirit, to my soul, to my body, to my mind, to all my works, oh God. And take me into the family that you now call the church. That third division, there's the Jews, the Gentiles, and the church of God. Take us out of both groups and bring us into the group, the church of God, which is the blessed, those that you have called by the gospel. And let us know that we are saved. Sanctify us, oh God, by the truth. Your word is truth. And Father, we give you praise right now. We give you glory as we go out from this place, that you would keep us, bless us, and return us back, that we might feed more upon your holy word, in order that we might prosper, not only in the spirit, but in the flesh. And we give you all the honor and the glory, and it is in Jesus' name we pray. And the whole church say it together. Amen. Amen.